Welcome to this audio tour by the Paston Footprints National Heritage Lottery funded project, a collaboration between the School of Literature at the University of East Anglia, the Paston Heritage Society, Collisions Theatre and Norfolk County Council. A map can be downloaded via the phone app or at pastonfootprints.co.uk. At each stopping point on the walk, press play and listen for a couple of minutes as the voices from the Paston letters are animated into life. The Blowfield Walk is narrated by Edward Paston. Born in the middle of the 16th century, he lived until 1630.
Ye be welcome, ye be welcome, ye be welcome one by one. Yet be heartily welcome, ye be heartily welcome, every one.
Greetings, fellow travellers. I am Edward Paston, Esquire, son of Sir Thomas Paston. My father Thomas was one of at least six children of William Paston and his wife, Bridget Hayden. Their marriage united two families who had been at loggerheads through much of the 15th century. Our Paston family are renowned for their letters describing their exploits in the 15th to 17th centuries. It is the earliest and largest collection of medieval and early modern family letters in the world. I am here today to share with you some of the stories of the 16th century Pastons in Blowfield, in the times of Tudor and Elizabethan England. My uncle, Erasmus Paston, inherited the bulk of the Paston properties as the elder son. However, my father Thomas followed his illustrious grandfather, John Paston III, to court, and achieved the high honour of becoming a gentleman of the King's Bedchamber, and is constantly being awarded many favours and properties from King Henry VIII for his years of service. My other uncle, Clement, is a famous sea captain, and also served many Tudor monarchs, and gained favour under Edward VI. In fact, King Edward VI is now my godfather, and I spent much of my youth growing up in the Tudor court. Yet, times being what they are now, I have been sadly prohibited from following in their footsteps to achieve favour at court.
Must dear religion fall, or skim the western waves to escape European graves, and hideous ruin swallow all?
But more on that later. There is much to see in the church. Press pause, go up to the entrance, and I will meet you there. Here we are at the beautiful St. Andrew's and St. Peter's Church in Blowfield. Look out for the tomb of my grandson, Clement of Barningham, who died on the 25th of July, 1662. His son, also named Edward, has some Paston letters in his own right, available at the Norfolk Records Office, for the curious. His first wife was sadly to die in childbirth while quite young. Seek out her tomb, as her grieving husband arranged for the poet laureate, John Dryden, to write a moving poem to her, which can still be seen on her tomb on the floor of the chancel.
So fair, so young, so innocent, so sweet, so ripe a judgment and so rare a wit, require at least an age in one to meet. In her they met, but long they could not stay. 'Twas gold too fine to fix without allay. Her maker's image was so well expressed, the sight of her upbraided all the rest. Too justly severed from an age like this. Now she's removed. The world is off a piece.
There are strong connections between the Pastons and Dryden, who is also a Catholic. Indeed, John Dryden penned another memorial for when you enter the chapel. Check out the monument dedicated to me on the north wall of the chancel. Please, explore the church. Press pause, and I'll meet you here. I hope you enjoyed the church. Houses of faith can be places of comfort, but also of danger in my day. I lived through the tumultuous reigns of Mary, Elizabeth I, and James I, dying in 1630 during the reign of Charles I. These are confusing times for many people due to the English Reformation.
A poisonous dragon hath infected my region, of whom young serpents hath sprung. His venomous inflations hath infected many nations, and mock of my people hath stung.
We Pastons benefited from the changes, as the manor of Blowfield was acquired by Thomas Paston in 1541, when Henry VIII gave away several ecclesiastical properties at the Reformation, including Binham Priory and Thorpe Hall. However, I, alongside several powerful Norfolk families, remain practicing the Roman Catholic faith, when there is much pressure to convert to the new religion, the English Anglican faith.
O England, England, thou hast worn the garland of true faith ever to me. But be steadfast and not slide, and this new disguising let be.
To survive as a Roman Catholic in the Protestant world of Queen Elizabeth's England requires great faith and dexterity, and, in many cases, keeping your head down. In my day, Catholicism and treason are considered practically the same thing. The Recusant Acts of 1588 by Queen Elizabeth impose punishment such as fines, property confiscation, and imprisonment on those who do not participate in Anglican religious activity. You are fined if you do not go to the Anglican Church on Sunday, and Roman Catholics are banned from court.
Against my Lady Fortune. Sometimes she looketh as lovely and fair and bright as goodly Venus, mother of Cupid. She becketh and she smileth on every wight. But this cheer feigned may not long abide. There cometh a cloud, and farewell all our pride. Like any serpent she beginneth to swell, and looketh as fierce as any fury of hell.
Because of this, I am part of a tight-knit group of recusant families in Norfolk, and indeed throughout England. We intermarry, and further a rich culture of our own.
What sweeteth solace shall befall than one to find upon whose breast thou mayest repose the secrets of thy mind?
Indeed, because of my artistic pursuits, I am gathering one of the largest collections of musical manuscripts in the Elizabethan era. But more on how music, art and architecture became both a pleasure and a saviour for Elizabethan recusants in a minute. Let us continue our journey across this lovely countryside towards Brundle. Keeping the church on your right-hand side, follow the church road to Bredeston Hall Lane, follow the road round the corner, press pause, and I will meet you there. We are now on the way to Bredeston from Blowfield Village. Gone are my father's and grandfather's day, where they became important figures at the courts of Henry VII, Henry VIII and Edward VI. As a recusant under Elizabeth I and King James, I have had to turn my home into my own form of courtly entertainment, and I have done that through sharing a community with other wealthy Norfolk Catholic families, such as branches of the Walpoles, who are distant medieval relatives, and our cousins, the Beddingfelds, who carry on our Paston name in your day. We help each other remain influential in society in spite of our unfashionable faith.
When friends like friends doth friendly show unto each other high or low, what cheer increase of love doth grow? What better cheer than they that know?
We use culture and patronage to wield influence through our development of the arts, music, poetry and entertainment, as do other members of my recusant circle here in Norfolk and throughout England.
Long have I been a singing man, and sundry parties oft have I sung. Yet one party still I first began. I could nor can sing old nor young. The mean I mean, which party showeth well, above all parties most to excel.
I myself play the lute, write poetry, and am a linguist. Music is important in our worship, and we gather together to pray and hear the glorious sacred music of our faith. Just listen to a description of the private chapel at Battle Abbey in Sussex, held by my daughter-in-law's family, the Browns.
Lady Montague has built a chapel in her house, which in such times of persecution is to be admired, and Mass is celebrated with singing and musical instruments, and sometimes there are 120 together, and 60 communicants at a time have the benefit of the Blessed Sacrament. What about you, Edward?
My home at Appleton Hall, which I inherited from my uncle, includes such a chapel. If I close my eyes, I can hear the glorious music by Thomas Tallis, a Roman Catholic composer of the time, whom I act as a patron for.
During these days, it is just as if we are celebrating uninterrupted octaves of some great feast. William Byrd, the very famous musician, is among the company.
Isn't it glorious? I have become an important patron to great musicians, having developed one of the most significant collections of works of the greatest Elizabethan composers, such as William Byrd and Thomas Tallis. And after my young adulthood experiences in Spain, where I learned the lute, I believe it is important to travel extensively abroad to gather more knowledge of the art, architecture, and music of Italy, Spain, and France. I encourage my son to travel as well, and think a young gentleman has a duty to go on a grand tour of Europe as part of his education and development. Do people travel much in your day? Let us continue to travel along. Turn right at the T-junction towards St. Michael and All Angels Church. Press pause when you're on the right road, and I will meet you there. Note the embellishments and turns of phrases of this masterful harpsichord piece by William Byrd. However, take care. Even music can be dangerous. If you are a Puritan in my day, you will disapprove of this as being too flowery, or in other words, too Catholic for plainer tastes. William Byrd and Thomas Tallis carry sole publication rights to music from Catholic Europe, and playing such pieces can also be seen as treasonous to some. But thankfully, Elizabeth I is also a music lover, and she has granted Tallis and Byrd their rights to publish music, the first being published in England in 1575. Elizabeth actually plays music, and, dare I say it, seems a bit ambivalent to the Catholic problem. Indeed, she said,
"There is only one Christ, Jesus, one faith. All else is dispute over trifles. I do not want to make a window into men's souls."
So, while you might be concerned I've led you into treason with all this music you have been listening to, if you keep your head down, you might be left alone. It also doesn't hurt to be a music lover, and I am a player and collector of music, and we can always play a little subterfuge. For Byrd has responded to the nation's appetite for singing by composing many secular rather than sacred songs, and within these, hidden subtle references to Catholic ideas. For example, Elizabeth's predecessor, Mary, had tried to crush Puritanism, and her memory is often celebrated in secular songs through lyrical references to lilies, such as these lyrics.
"Crowned with flowers and lilies, I saw the muses, a shrine adorn above the sphere of crystal, therein to place a queen whom fate refuses, a sacred tomb to give a fame immortal. Mary she hight, of Henry great the daughter."
I, too, have written a poem, crowned with flowers and lilies, as a tribute to her. Lilies are traditionally the Christian symbol of the Virgin Mary, and I'm making a powerful devotional connection to the Mother of the Catholic Church. Think on that, especially if you see any wild flowers at the roadside as you follow the path to Bradeston Church. Press pause, and I will meet you there. As we continue to the St. Michael's and All Angels Church, I will fill you in on the importance of the arts to Catholic families in my day, not just as amusing pastimes, but for power and influence. We, like many recusant gentry families, not only support professional artists and artisans, but put the arts into practice ourselves. As we have been removed from activities at court or other influential pursuits of the nobility, architecture, gardening, the playing of musical instruments, and even the writing of poetry and literature are all signs of being noble of body and mind, and keep us Catholics essential to the country in an Anglican world. Similar to myself, other gentlemen are skilled musicians and have an organ or other musical instruments, and choristers, male and female, as members of their households. In the late 1570s and early 1580s, times have got even tougher for us recusants. The Pope in Rome excommunicated Queen Elizabeth, and the growing fight with Spain has also made my own time at the Spanish court more suspect.
Of treason mark the nature and the kind, a face it bears of all humility. Truth is the cloak and friendship of the mind, and deep it goes, and worketh secretly.
But do just listen to the beautiful lute playing of the Spanish as you take in the church before you. This is from Spagnoletto. I had, upon my death, a great collection of scores and instructions for the playing of the lute. Unfortunately, none have survived to your day. But I was both a lover and player of this extraordinary instrument, and much of my learning came from the Spanish court. Isn't the sound glorious? I have transcribed by hand 5 books of lute music for use in my household, and these still exist at the British Library. The Spanish culture of my day is truly magnificent. There is such a sadness in my heart that the wonders of Spain, Italy, and France are seen as dangerous in these troublesome times with wars against religion.
Keep watch, for verily you know not when the master of the house cometh.
If you have ever seen a priest hole, they are used for us to hide our religious leaders if under threat from the state. But even so, we find comfort in our places of worship, as do the Anglicans, even if our houses of worship remain secret while the Anglican churches are here for all to see.
If love be strong, hot, mighty and fervent, there may no trouble, grief, or sorrow fall, but that the lover would be well content, all to endure, and think it eke too small, though it were death, so he might therewithal the joyful presence of that parson get, on whom he hath his heart and love set.
Please, go and explore the Church of St. Michael and All Angels here in Bradeston. Though a part of Brundall today, it was a deserted medieval village in its own right. Bradeston Church, less than a mile from Blowfield Church, has a 14th century octagonal font bowl and a brass to Osbert Burney, who was wounded by an arrow at the siege of Caister Castle in 1469, where he assisted the Pastons in the castle's defence. The Burney family also paid 40 shillings for rebuilding the steeple there. Press pause, and I will wait for you here. I hope you enjoyed your visit to the church. Please, follow the footpath through the gates and along the meadow until you reach Blowfield Road. Here we are in Brundle Village, located on the beautiful River Yare. The name means at the broomy nook of land. Just as river transport is important in my day, you can enjoy a trip on the river at this busy boating area of the Norfolk Broads. Perhaps even return to rent a canoe and explore the Yare yourself. Did you know, when Queen Elizabeth I visited Norfolk in 1578, she stayed with many of the recusant families in Norfolk, a savvy move to garner their support. But by the 1580s and 1590s, Catholics and Anglicans are on course for a terrible collision. Many Protestant refugees have come to stay here in England, fighting persecution in their homelands, while we poor Catholics also face some danger here in ours.
The sister will beguile the brother, the child will beguile the mother, and thus one will not trust another, if this world last a while. And thus the people with great cruelty use the law with extremity. The world is without all pity. On God they have no dread.
The war between religions has caused the creation of schools for English priests in continental Europe, and they return here in secret to provide the mass and rites of the sacrament in manor houses owned by myself and my fellow recusants. After 1585, any priest ordained abroad since 1559 and found on English soil is automatically deemed a traitor, and his lay host a felon, both punishable by death. Hence the need for priest holes, like the one at Harvington Hall or at Hindlip, where a feeding tube is embedded in the masonry. For a country at war with Spain, these priests are viewed as suspicious agents from a foreign power. All us Catholics are seen as potential allies to our country's enemies abroad. Searches, arrests, and executions are happening all around the country.
Of a hard beginning cometh a good ending. Truth on the term is not always depending. Some hardly begin, but by feet to sit fast, that end with hard hanging by the neck at last.
Turn right and follow Blowfield Road, keeping right until you reach Yarmouth Road. Press pause and I will meet you there. Under Elizabeth I, us Catholics have become experts at disguise. The Mass is banned, and anyone who hears it risks a fine and prison. But we are ingenious. We have secret Mass kits and altar stones small enough to slip into the pocket. With the outlaying of priests, these are difficult times indeed. However, it is the powerful and wealthy recusant families like us who keep the faith alive for many. As Queen Elizabeth I often keeps out of what goes on behind closed doors at our manor houses, if we keep to ourselves, we can find ways to practice our religion, quietly, among ourselves.
When all is said and done, in the end, thus shall you find, the most of all doeth bathe in bliss that hath a quiet mind. In clear from worldly cares, to deem can be content. The sweetest time in all his life in thinking to be spent.
Times were to become tougher under James I after the gunpowder plot, and times would continue to be difficult for the next century for us recusants. However, people like my family remained true to our faith and ourselves. Now we're at Yarmouth Road, let us listen to the glorious music of William Byrd, who has remained a successful court musician, protected through his art from any harm coming to him, despite his friendship with many other dangerous Catholics, such as myself. Bird has not only put some of my verse to music, he makes reference to our Paston house at Appleton Hall in one of his satirical songs. As Bird's music plays, turn right, then right again, down the footpath along the playing field, back towards the church where you began. I always think of the glories of William Byrd, Thomas Tallis, John Dryden, and other great English Catholic artists with pride. Their genius helped transition us beyond the religious wars and mistrust of my day. By the later 17th century, being a Roman Catholic was more of a social problem than a political one for many influential families. Press pause until you reach the church again. I will meet you there.
But now an end of thee to make. Trusting thou shalt be taken well. God grant us all vice to forsake, and to think on both heaven and hell with fear and love, and not to rebel against God's laws in any case. And then no doubt but we shall dwell with him in his most joyful place.
I hope you enjoyed my walk with you through Blowfield and Brundle. Perhaps now you will appreciate even more the music in your life as it was in mine, and maybe decide to learn to play an instrument of your own. Fortunately for my descendants, our Catholic branch of the Paston family survived the many challenges of the religious wars and tension of the times. Because of a strange twist of fate, and our close intermarriage with other recusant families, we are the only surviving branch of the Paston family to this day. The last Margaret Paston married the 6th Baronet Henry Bedingfeld in 1826, on condition that he joined her name with his. As a result, the current Sir Henry Paston Bedingfield of Oxburgh Hall is patron of the Paston Heritage Society. Please explore other walks to find out more about the other branches of the family, including the walk at Oxnead, where you will hear about Sir Robert Paston, the first Earl of Yarmouth, and the many trials he faced, which eventually caused the end to that illustrious family line. Well, I'd better leave you. I have much lute playing and poetry writing to occupy my time these days. Good day to you, and may your convictions be strong, and your love of life attract you to your own artistic pursuits.
Visit pastonfootprints.co.uk for creative activities for children and adults to do after the walk, or to discover further Paston walks and audio tours, with each place telling a different chapter of the Paston story, including Motby, Gresham, Paston Village, Bacton, Oxnead, Norwich, and cycle routes at Mannington and Flegg.